Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, a great promise about grace. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Isn't that a wonderful promise? The last one I kind of want to look at is Acts chapter 15. And what really strikes me about this passage, just give a brief setup, is that, so this is after the day of Pentecost, and what's happening is that, you know, all the apostles were Jewish men of Hebrew descent, and some of them were having a very difficult time because they were seeing, for an example, in Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house, a Gentile, his whole household get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they're having a meeting in Acts chapter 15 and talking about, okay, do we make the Gentiles follow the law that we've had to follow as Jews? And I want to read Acts 15:11. This is kind of the response they came to. We believed that we're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of our Lord Jesus. Isn't that a powerful verse? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Let's ask your work in our hearts, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be good soil, Lord, ready to receive your word, that you would speak to us today, that you would conform us, challenge us, change us. And as our hearts, that good soil, receiving your word, Lord, would see 30, 60, 100 times, that would just sown, Lord, an increase, a change in our life. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. When I first started thinking about this and praying about preaching this series about grace, there was a song that came to me that I could not shake. And I'm out for about 2 months now. I've kind of been singing it to myself because you don't want me to sing to you, I promise. But I just been going in my heart. As a matter of fact, I tell you, more mornings than not, I've woke up and again, these words being on my heart, and probably some of you are going to be familiar with this, but it goes like this. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. And maybe the chorus will ring a bell. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. But I want to look at those next few verses in this song. It says, sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there is a flowing crimson tide. Brighter than snow you may be today. Then the last verse, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful song. And so where when I'm thinking about grace, it's such a vast subject, actually, and biblically and look in theology and all those things. And so where do you jump in at something like this? And you know, as I was praying about it, I was thinking about how I was raised in church, and maybe some of you, and I was raised in a very legalistic sense of faith and Scripture. And I remember when I was first really exposed to grace, that grace that changed my life. But, you know, we as human beings, we have an issue. You know that, right? We have an issue to where, you know, we're going down. Now, you know, when you get saved, it's a good issue to have, right? You're going one direction and you repent, and so you turn and go the other direction, you know? You go all out for God like you're going all out in the old life. That's a good. But, you know, so many times, I mean, I think about, like, dieting and exercise, right? Either you're all in or not, you know? I mean, very few of us probably are halfway on that. I mean, you're either all in or relationships, and a lot of us say, oh, I'm all in or I'm nothing. Maybe you've said that before. And sometimes we're that way in this sense, is that what I found is that there's generations that actually we are don't even have in our church because they were raised in a very legalistic sense. And then there's a swing that happened towards grace. Well, the problem is, I think in some regard, we went too far way over here. But there is a balance in which to live our life with how Scripture tells us that we need to live a holy life, but also have that empowering grace in our life. And so the first thing I want you to know is this, is that God's grace has no bounds. There is no limit to God's grace. God's grace has no bounds. And as I was thinking, we read through that song that almost reads like a poem to me. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sin. There is a power and grace, I believe, that we really, maybe some of us, haven't awakened to yet. There is a power and grace that we've not introduced fully into yet. There's a freedom and grace, but also a guidance and grace that will impact and change our life. Here's the thing, grace is far greater, better, more powerful than what you ever thought possible when you understand what God's grace is. And only one other passage when I was looking at this, and there's only one other passage that uses this verb when it's talking about this grace that is so significant and so powerful. There's only one other place that we see it in this terminology, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce that Greek word. I put it in your notes for a reason, and it's on the screen for a reason. But this Greek word that talks about this excessive grace, this abounding grace, it actually means super increase. And we only see it only one other place in Scripture, and it's in 2 Corinthians 7:4. And it says, I have the highest confidence in you and take great pride in you, that Paul is writing to the Corinthians. But listen to this. You have greatly encouraged me. And what that greatly right there means is a super increase, an abounding, an excessive. And so listen to me, no matter who you are or where you're from, there is grace for you. It doesn't matter how many times that you've messed up in life, there is grace for you. No matter what you've done or how many times that you've done it, there is grace for you. No matter what's going on of those feelings of sometimes of unworthiness because of the mistakes we've made in our life, there is grace for you. If you struggle with legalism, there is grace for you. If you struggle of letting go of the past, there is grace for you. If you're fighting an habitual sin that seems to have a hold and has you chained and locked up and bound, there is grace for you. If you feel no matter how much you learn about God and His presence, and it's been so difficult to step in and trust Him with that faith, there is grace for you. If you score off the charts in each of these doubts and you struggle with all of them, there's grace for you. Some people believe that talking about the power of grace or hyper grace is going to give people an excuse to not live a holy lifestyle and to live a lifestyle of sin. And I think maybe in Pentecostal churches, that's why we don't hear a lot about grace. But friend, I want to tell you something. It is grace that changes us. It is grace that empowers us. It is grace that moves us to live a holy life. It is the power of grace that we know the bondage of sin is broken in our life. Number two is this. Listen to me. Grace is not an excuse to stay in sin. It's the power to get out of sin. Grace is not an excuse to stay in sin. It's the power to get out of sin. You see, grace empowers you to change. Grace empowers you to change. Grace empowers you to grow. Grace empowers you to be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Grace just doesn't cover us. Grace transforms us. Elbow your neighbor and say, you're a transformer. You didn't even know it. Grace is not an excuse to stay in sin. It is a power to get out of sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about right here. But what does it say? Verse 2, of course not. Come on, say it with me. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I really like the message. I want to read this passage in the message. Romans 6, 1 and 2. It's going to be there on the screen for you. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind, and we came up out of the water, and we entered into the new country of grace, a new life and a new land. Wow. That's just a perfect description about grace. So what is grace? If we were to poll everybody in here, this is most likely some of the answers that we would get. So what is grace? Some may would say salvation. That's a next blank there in your notes if you weren't following along. So grace is, some define it as salvation. Some define it as a gift. Some would say forgiveness, salvation, gift, forgiveness. Some would say an expression of God's love. Some would say receiving what we don't deserve. That's a literal definition of part of what grace is, receiving what we don't deserve. And all of those things are right and accurate. And I was thinking about some fathers of the faith, some things that have been said about grace. B.B. Warfield said this, grace is free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. I want to say that again. Grace is free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. John Stott, he said this, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. What a great definition. Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. Jerry Bridges said this, grace is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him. Paul Zoll, he said this, grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it. Anybody ever feel they're on that boat, on that train? But see, there's also something I think when we think about this, that, and all those are accurate, all those are biblical, and all of those are true, but there's another side about grace that we don't hear about or know about. Matter of fact, these five things I told you about, salvation, gift, forgiveness, expression of God's love, receiving what we don't deserve, there was a poll of 1,000 believers, and 98, that represents 98% of the responses. But there was 2% that said these other things that we're going to talk about, that I've said at different times, but grace is also this, is multiplied divine power. We're going to see that through this series, that grace is multiplied divine power. Let me be more specific. It is the power of God through the Holy Spirit in your life. Grace is God's influence on the heart. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. God's influence, God's grace is influence upon the heart. A fourth thing is God's ability at work in our life. Now, I don't know, maybe if you've been saved a little while, hopefully you've discovered this, but that God's ability is so much more than my own ability. Are you with me this morning? And here's the last one, changing from the inside out. God's grace literally, when biblically, means changing from the inside out. See, there is no definition. I want everybody to look at me right now. I want you to get this. There is no definition whatsoever about grace that leaves you right where you are. There is no definition of grace that leaves you right where you are. But change and empowerment and forgiveness, absolutely. I want to remind you, as a matter of fact, of a value that we have here is that growing people change. Change is part of being a believer. I think it's important to understand also something that when you read, matter of fact, I want to suggest this to you, that this week you read through the book of Romans. If you read just a couple of chapters a day, I mean, you'll get through the whole book of Romans. I mean, it's easy to do, but I would highly encourage you to do that. But in reading through, there's something we see, that in the first five chapters of Romans, we see Paul, of course, emphasizing the need of salvation and how to be saved, the importance of salvation, the need of salvation. We read scriptures like Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." Romans 3:23, we read about that, "For everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard," and he makes it known that none of us in our own righteousness will ever measure up to the holiness or completeness of God. But then it says this in Romans 5:8, "But God showed his great love for us by sending his Son to die for us while we were still sinners." And so the first five chapters of Romans, it focuses on what we call justification. Everybody say it with me. Justification. All right, say it like you know what it means. Justification. Thank you. And so the easy definition of justification, you'll see it on the screen, justified. Justified what? Never sinned. I mean, when it comes on the simplicity of justification, that's what it means. Justified, never sinned. When God forgives you, when you come to the Lord and you ask him for that grace, that forgiveness, that washing that takes place in your life, the standing that you're in at that moment is just as if I'd never sinned. That is powerful, to have that standing with God, that chasm that separates us from God. The Bible says our sin separates us from him. And what builds that bridge is his grace, that he sent his one and only Son, that if we would just believe on him, we would have everlasting life. But the first verse in chapter 6, he's moving on to a new subject, And that subject is what we call sanctification. I want to remind you of the verse we're looking at. "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that we should show us more and more wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in sin?" And so we see in these next chapters of Paul writing about sanctification. So let's talk about sanctification. So say it with me. Sanctification. I'm doing that. Make sure you're still awake, okay? We're going to say it together. One, two, three. Sanctification. All right. Sanctification is God progressively separating believers from sin and making him more like himself. Sanctification is God progressively separating believers from sin and making them more like himself. I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, right? As I came to that place of salvation, And so then I'm justified, not because of what I did, because of what Christ did for me. And so I stand washed and forgiven because I repented of my sins and I turned from that old life. And so at that moment, I'm justified in God's presence. Why? Not because of my works, but because of Christ's righteousness that clothes me. Are you following me? And so that's justified, never sinned. But it doesn't stop there. You see, that justification is an instant sanctification of our life, but it doesn't stop there. We grow with it. It's a progressive work in our life. See, here's how I know that to be true, and I think maybe you're in the boat with me, is that since I got saved, there's been a time or two that I still sinned. Just a time or two. And that's a sin right there, forgive me, I'm lying. Maybe three or four times. Justification is a moment of sanctification, and it's when we pass through Christ from death to life. But sanctification, listen to this, is a step-by-step process when the Holy Spirit in our life conforms us to the image of Christ. And so sanctification is God progressively doing this work in us, and we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Do you know how this happens? Grace. Grace. That's how all this happens. Romans 8, 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like who? Like a son. He's conforming us. For God knew these people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So remember, grace, his grace abounds, right? There's no limit to his grace. Number two, grace is not an excuse to stay in sin, but to get out of it, for our lives to change. And number three is this, grace empowers you to be free from sin's control. Grace empowers you to be free from sin's control. I know and understand, man, I'm going to tell you something. If us as believers would get a hold of this one thing to understand that sin no longer has a hold on you. Will I still make mistakes? Yes, you're right, we do. But sin still doesn't have a hold on you. That power has been broken. It has been broken. Because you fall short every now and then doesn't make you a sinner. Sin's power has been broken over you. Grace empowers you to be free from sin's control. And so how does that happen? It happens through process, because that's what sanctification is process. So let me break that down just a little bit even further to maybe help some understanding. And you're going to hear some verses that I say nearly every Sunday and every Wednesday. Can you say amen? So what's the process? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. What's the process? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. For God is working in you and us and me, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And we read another verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So what is this process? The process is this, is that God, when you get saved and you come to him, and this moment we're talking about, that you stand justified because of Christ's righteousness, and then there's this beginning work of sanctification that's a process. So this is where God begins it. He begins it on the inside of you. The external work of sanctification does not begin until it happens inside of you. See, there's too many of us, we're pretty discouraged because we're trying to deal with the habits and the stuff on the outside of us. And what we really need to do is surrender and say, God, would you work on inside of me with your grace? See, I know it's different for everybody, right? I know when I came to the Lord and I got saved, I know I talk about it all the time, but you know what? I'm grateful that God saved me. And when God saved me, I was involved. I had a lifestyle that was habitual, that was habits in my life. And I'm grateful that it is immediate that God broke those chains in my life. And I fully understand that it doesn't happen that way for everybody. I get it. I understand it. That's why it's a process of just surrendering and saying, God, just by your grace, would you do that work in my life? See, it begins on the inside of us, that spirit man in you. That's where it begins, is on the inside of you. That's where you begin to transform. And that's where your mind begins starting to being renewed. And that's where your life, your actions of your life start changing. Are you following me so far? It is God that does this work inside of you. I remember, I don't know if this fully relates or not, but I remember I was working for First Supermarket after, when I got saved, and I had to, part of my job, yeah, I was involved in many different areas of the store, and I had to stock the beer cooler. And after I got saved, I had a real problem with that, so I stopped doing it. And so finally, my boss called me in. They said, we see you're not stocking the beer. I was like, well, I've gotten saved. I can't do that. Well, it's your job. And so I had this conflict going on, and I realized that if I wanted a job, I had to do it. Because she said, if you don't do it, we're going to fire you. So I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, because I didn't want to be around it because I was bound to it for so long. I didn't want to be near it. Didn't want to smell it. Didn't want to be near it. And so I don't know if it was the Lord or not, but this is, you know, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I really believe it was the Lord. And so I'd carry anointing oil with me. And every single case I put on the shelf, I'd anoint it. Lord, just make them sick. Every single one. I kid you not. And then they're like, what's taking you so long in the beer vault? I know that it's not the same for all of us. And listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If there's an addiction in your life that you need broken, what you need is God's grace working in you. Because when it starts there, what is the next thing in that scripture tells us? Our desires change. Your desire can't change until that grace is at working in your life. And when you say, well, how do I even do that? Listen to me, it is constant of just coming to the Lord and us presenting ourselves to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am again. Here I am again. I know that I messed up again. I know that I fell short again. I need your empowerment in my life. And if you be faithful in doing that, God will be faithful concerning you. See, the enemy wants you to believe there's not enough grace for you. But I'm going to tell you that there is no limit to our God's grace. Grace empowers you to be free from sin's control. I mean, look at the process. God works in you. Your desires change. And then you do what pleases him. That's your actions. That's the fruit we bear. And I'm going to tell you, this is just not for new believers. There's some of you that have been around for a while that need that reworking of grace in your heart to be conformed and molded in the image of Christ, which is part of what grace does, isn't it? There's also a partnership. So there's a process, but listen to me, there's also a partnership. One of my favorite scriptures to read when I talk about that partnership is 2 Timothy chapter 2. You've heard me share this with you many times. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are wood and clay. Listen, the expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. Verse 21, if you keep yourself pure. Do you see that? It doesn't say if God keeps you pure. It doesn't say your neighbor keep you pure. Do you see it? It says if you keep yourself. So there is an empowerment that begins as change in us, but there's also a partnership with us to do our part. And here's the awesome thing about it. For you to accomplish your part in this process, that power doesn't come from you. It comes from God's grace empowering you to do it. And so if you're looking to fulfill and live that out on your own strength, what you're going to find is you don't have enough strength. But God does. And he can empower you. But look what it says. If you keep yourself pure, then you'll become a special utensil for honorable use. And your life will be clean. And you'll be ready for the master to use you in every good work. It's also going to change the way you live out your faith. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'm so grateful of the process and the partnership that all begins in that work of grace inside of our life. So listen, it doesn't come easy. If you have an addiction that you're still tied to, if your life is going a direction that you don't want it to go, if you know you're not living in a way that you should be living life, I'm going to tell you, maybe this is not the issue, but I'm going to tell you that it is not easy. Do you know why it's not easy? Because that old flesh, it wants that sinful nature to have control and that sinful lifestyle to have control. That enemy is fighting against you to draw you back in and pull you away from God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. If you're faithful, and you come to the Lord, and you come to the Lord, and you come to the Lord, it will take root. It will start a transformation on the inside of you. And so the fourth thing is this. Some of the things I want to talk about, I don't have time. I want to get to number four. This is very important. Grace says that you can't live in sin. Grace says you can't live in sin. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom." He's rescued from that dark place, from that sin. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a sobering verse, isn't it? Verse 11, but see, here's a transition, something very powerful. Some of you were once like that. Some of you were once like that. And listen to me, something that Paul is writing here, he's trying to remind the Corinthian church, that's who you were, but you're not that anymore. You see, we have the same identity crisis so many times. We want to identify as that sinner, the one in that hole, the one in that pit. But you have to realize that you are now justified and being sanctified by the power of God. So that's not what you are anymore. That's what you were. That's what you were. I tell you what, if I can make a t-shirt, that's what it'd be. I'm a were. I was a word. Y'all figure that out. That tells us three things I want to close with. In that scripture, that promise, we see three powerful words. Washed, sanctified, justified. We see those three words again. Washed, justified, sanctified. Some of you were once like that, but you were what? You were washed. You were washed. And maybe some of you feel really unworthy because you're still battling the memory of some past sins, but the Bible's telling us, the Spirit of God is telling us, that's what you were, but now you're washed. Right? And we're not talking about some late night TV infomercial that's supposed to get rid of the stain. I mean, we're talking about something that really works. We're talking about the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes you and washes that sins away and that introduces you to grace. And so you're washed. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes us, cleanses us. And it says you were sanctified. There's an ongoing work on the inside of you. And it doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian and you're still battling and pulling out of the world, or maybe you've been saved for a while, but there still needs to be some transformation on the inside of you. It's an ongoing process, and God has not given up on you. Matter of fact, He's still working on you. I'd sing the kid song right now, that God's still working on me. The moon, the trees, the stars, whatever it says. But God still works. The Bible says that the work that He began in you. But see, let's remember about grace. And it would not be inappropriate to say the grace that started in you. Did y'all just miss that? The grace that first worked, that God's ability that first began in you, that divine power that first began in you, He hasn't given up on you, and He's going to complete it. So you make the rapture of the church. Man, that's good. And you were sanctified and justified. Sanctified and justified. That you were made right with God, and you get to work in process and partnership for the work of God in your life.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.